Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, July 27th, 2022, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, sir, that you have graced us out with one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we are in the first paragraph, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, which is the open letter, or the unveiled glory. That is the reflected glory of Jesus Christ in the winner believer. This has a phenomenal impact in the world to both man and to angels, the reflected glory of Jesus Christ in the winner believer. This is not true of the loser believer. You can't tell him from the unbeliever. He's saved and that's it. He'll be in heaven forever and ever and ever. He can't lose his salvation, but he is not reflecting the glory of Christ. That is something that the winner believer, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advancing to spiritual maturity, having virtue love brought to completion in his heart, having personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, which is almost unable to even be seen today, and occupation with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has made himself at home in your heart. And the other side of the coin, plus H, you share the happiness of God no matter what is going on in the world, no matter what's going on in the United States of America, no matter what's going on in Nevada, Las Vegas, no matter what's going on at your job, no matter what's going on in your marriage or your family, you have occupation with Jesus Christ. He's made himself at home in your heart. You share the happiness of God in all situations, in all circumstances, whether it's suffering, adversity, or prosperity. It makes no difference. That is the reflected glory of Christ in the winner believer. And that's what God wants all of you to have. That's normal. Of course, normal today is very rare, very abnormal. Verse 1 in 2 Corinthians 3, the Apostle Paul is looking at the loser believers in Corinth. He starts out and he says in verse 1, "Do we have to start all over again and begin to commend ourselves once again?" And this is Paul using sanctified sarcasm. The Apostle Paul was not only probably the greatest human mind ever on planet Earth. He was a super genius. He also had a sense of humor, and he had a sarcasm, sanctified sarcasm, and he's using it here. I'm sure he got a chuckle out of writing this. There is a place for sarcasm in the spiritual life. However, it should be reserved for those in spiritual maturity, like the Apostle Paul. Now, this is 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. He's already written to them 1 Corinthians. And when he wrote 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul exercised the spiritual authority given to him as an apostle and taught the absolute truth of God's word to the Corinthian believers with tough love. Tough virtue love. And he had to. They were setting the world record for reversionism. They had come up with some that nobody else had ever done before. They were living in the cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred. They were just screwing up and making mistakes every way possible. And so he had to teach with tough love. The word of God stepped on their toes and it hurt their feelings. And on top of that, Paul didn't come and visit them. He bypassed them on several occasions, and that didn't go well with them. So the Corinthian believers have become very critical of Paul. That is, the arrogant believers, the loser believers. Now, they don't want to have anything to do with Paul. So in great sanctified sarcasm, Paul says, "So now I have to come back to Corinth as someone that you have never met?" Now, he knows them. He's known them for years and years and years. But this is his sanctified sarcasm. Do we have to start all over and begin to commend ourselves again? Now, Paul has led many of these people in Corinth to the Lord. He gave them the grace gospel. They believed in Jesus Christ. And then Paul taught them the grace and truth of the Word of God. Paul has known these Corinthians for years. And everybody in Corinth has known Paul for years. But some of them, in their arrogance and bad decisions, by their criticism, gossip, maligning, and judging of the Apostle Paul, they don't want to have anything to do with Paul anymore. They've phased Paul out. So in sanctified sarcasm, Paul says, "You mean I have to start all over and come to you as a stranger, as if you don't know me?" Paul was criticized more than any believer who ever lived, with possible exception of Moses. Paul and Moses are the two of the greatest communicators of the Word of God who have ever lived. And they were also the most criticized, maligned, and judged of any believers. So verse 1, he's actually giving his attention and his sanctified sarcasm to the loser believers. And he says, do we have to start all over and begin to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like certain people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? And the negative may here demands the answer, no. No, we don't. But your arrogance and your critical attitude toward us says that we do. 2 Corinthians 3:1 then again is full of sanctified sarcasm. Paul is saying, do I have to come with letters of recommendation before you will allow me to come into your churches and teach the absolute truth of God's word? Now, he also says this because he is well aware of the fact that the Corinthians were allowing legalistic teachers and false teachers to come to their churches and to teach. But now these few do not want Paul because he was too tough on them. These legalistic teachers and false teachers would come with letters of recommendation. And oftentimes they forged Paul's name. They forged his name. Paul didn't sign it. He didn't give them the authority to do so. These legalistic and false teachers would say, I have a letter of recommendation from the Apostle Paul, verifying the fact that I am a great Bible teacher. Those were all lies. So the Corinthians would allow these legalists and false teachers to come in and teach false doctrine because they were nice. They were nice. They smiled a lot. They told them how great they all were. And they liked that. Paul just clobbered them over the head. Boom! Then they get up, he hit him again, they go down. They get up, he hit him again, they go down. These false teachers would come in and say, you are all such nice believers. You're wonderful. They're saying that as they're going over the cliff and crashing and burning. Paul doesn't want them to go over the cliff. So he has been exercising his authority and teaching as he should. Now, in verse 2, he goes to the positive believers, the winner believers in verse 2. You, on the other hand, positive believers, with humility, with positive volition, you are our letter of recommendation because you have been written in our hearts in the past with the result that you will always be in our hearts. And you are known and read again and again by everyone. Now these are the winner believers, and I don't care how bad things are, in every generation there are those winner believers who have the moral courage to stand up for God, to stand up for the Word of God, regardless of what 99% of the people are doing. They don't care about what everybody else is doing. They don't follow in everybody else's footsteps. In every generation, even in apostasy generation, as in our generation, there are those winner believers who have the moral courage to stand up for God, and to stand up for the Word of God. And as a result of their positive volition and genuine humility, they advance all the way to spiritual maturity and become invisible heroes. They won't be on TV. They are invisible heroes. And they have phenomenal impact. As a result of their positive volition and genuine humility, they have advanced to spiritual maturity. They refuse to be distracted away from the spiritual life into Satan's cosmic system. And as a result, they reflect. They reflect the glory of God. They reflect the grace of God. They reflect the virtue, love of God. all over planet Earth. They are constantly being observed, known, and studied by not only mankind, but by the angels. So verses 1 and 2 again says, do we have to start, first to the loser believers, the arrogant ones, do we have to start all over and begin to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like certain people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? The negative may says, no, we don't. But your arrogance and critical attitude toward us says we do. Verse 2, he switches to the positive winner believers. You are our letter of recommendation because you have been written in our hearts in the past with the result that you will always be in our hearts, and you are known and read again and again by everyone, man and angel. Now that brings us to verse 3. And in verse 3, the winner believers are a letter of recommendation from Christ. A letter of recommendation from Christ. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. We always start with the King James Version. This is the present passive participle of phanerao plus the conjunction ha ti, plus the present active indicative of the to-be verb eimi, plus the nominative singular of epistole, with the genitive singular of Christos. The verb phanerao. Now, we kind of got very associated with phanerao in our Thursday class in 1 John. And now we have it here by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 3. Phanerao. P-H-A-N-E-R-O, long O. Phanerao. In the active voice, phanerao means to show or to reveal oneself. In the passive voice, which is what we have, it means to be made known, to become known, to be shown. The present tense, you keep on being shown that you are a letter of recommendation from Christ. What a great thing. That's true of every winner believer. You keep on being shown that you are a letter of recommendation from Christ. The passive voice, winner believers receive the action of the verb by the grace and the power of God. The power of the filling of the Spirit, combined with the power of the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit, combined with the power of metabolized doctrine in their heart. The participle is once again circumstantial attendant circumstance, having the same force as the main verb, eimi. And then the conjunction ha-ti introduces an object clause, and you translate it that. Eimi, that you are, and then epistole Christou, a letter of recommendation from Christ. You keep on being shown that you are a letter of recommendation from Christ. Now you might ask yourself, do you keep on being shown that you are a letter of recommendation from Christ? Or are you keep on being shown that you're a letter of recommendation from the ruler of this world? Depends on where you're living. Are you living the spiritual life? Or are you living in Satan's cosmic system? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Or are you a disciple of the devil? And that's where the passage here in Corinthians and our study on Thursday in 1 John kind of dovetail together. You keep on being shown that you are a letter of recommendation from Christ. You're a disciple of Jesus Christ, ministered by us. Now we have a communication, the communicator of the Word of God, combined with not only the apostle or pastor teacher, but also God the Holy Spirit, ministered by us. This is the aorist passive participle of the verb dia, konao, plus the prepositional phrase hupa, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego. Dia, konao. That's D-I-A-K-O-N-E, long O. Dia koneo. Let's get a couple of things on this verb. First of all, literally, dia koneo means to wait on someone at a table, to be a waiter in a restaurant. And there are great waiters and there are not so great. When you find a fantastic, and this, there's no city in the entire world that has more restaurants than Las Vegas does. And the competition is great. And there are some very wonderful, wonderful restaurants with great waiters. And I always can tell, I can always tell a great restaurant because after years and years and years, the same people are there after years and years and years. That shows a great restaurant, great leadership, all the way down the line. The management does a fantastic job and being supportive of the staff working for them, and the people working there have the greatest respect for the management. It goes both ways. And, well, we have a list of places that there are our best restaurants that we will love to go to. And excellent waiters. And it's just a pleasure to go there and talk with them. And we've gone there so many times that they have come to know us. And we have come to know them. And they do a fantastic job. They're always there when they're supposed to be there. And they're not there when they are not supposed to be there. Now, a lot of restaurants today, the concept is make as much money as you can. That means get the people in, get it, give them their stuff, get it off their table, get them out so you can get somebody else in. Now you see, when I go to a restaurant, I go with the mentality of the European restaurant. You go there for all day. Enjoy the time while you're there. I'm not in a hurry. You know, you go to into most restaurants. Okay, what do you want? What's your appetizer? Okay, and then okay, now what's your main course you want? And what's the dessert you want? And they don't do that at the restaurants we go to. We like to start out with an appetizer. And that's only thing we order. Doesn't mean we're not going to order again, but that's all we're going to order now. And then we get it. And by the way, I go early. When do you open? When does the restaurant open? When they open for dinner at 4 o'clock, that's great. Get there at 4 o'clock because nobody else is there. All the people back there making your meal, they're focusing on your meal. It gets done, gets out, boom, and I don't mind it at all that there's nobody, it's an empty restaurant. And we have the appetizer, and we enjoy it, and we talk with our waiter, and enjoy the meal and each other and take our time, and he doesn't bug us, or when we get finished, they'll ask if they can bring anything else, and then when we finish that, I think we're ready to order the next course. So we'll order that course. And so we get there at 4. We may get home around 7:38. That's a great way to go out and eat. But some of these restaurants, they want to get you out. You come in at 4, you're going to be out in 4:15. So we get the next people in and get more money, get the next people more money. When we go into that type of restaurant, we say afterwards, toodaloo, toodaloo to you, and we won't come back. It's a special art to be a great waiter. That's what this word in the literally diakoneo means, to wait on someone at a table, to be a waiter, to serve food to someone. Two, figuratively, diakoneo means to serve the spiritual food of Bible doctrine to a congregation. Figuratively, diakoneo means to serve the spiritual food of Bible doctrine to a congregation. And it is sometimes translated to minister. To minister. Three, the communication of the Word of God ministers to a congregation. The communicator of the Word of God ministers to a congregation by his consistent and faithful study and teaching of the Word of God. The communicator of the Word of God ministers to a congregation by his consistent and faithful study and teaching of the Word of God. Four. From our verb diakoneo comes the noun diakonos, which means minister or servant. Five, diakonos is one of the words used to describe the communication gift of both the apostle in the pre-canon period of the church age and pastor-teacher in the post-canon period of the church age. So diakonos is one of those words used to describe the communication gift of both apostle and pastor-teacher. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5. First Corinthians 3, verse 5. What then is Apollo? What then is Apollos? And what is Paul? Servants. That's diakonos in the plural, diakonoi. Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. So here we have Apollos and Paul, and they are diakonoi, servants, ministers. Turn over to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 7. Ephesians 3, verse 7. Here is the Apostle Paul, and he declares that he is a diakonos. Ephesians 3:7, I became a servant, a diakonos, of the of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of His power. So I, the Apostle Paul, became a diakonos, a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of His power, by the grace and power of God. The Apostle Paul knows that he is totally operating by the grace and power of God. Turn over to Colossians 1:7. Now we have diakonos used for the pastor teacher, spiritual gift of pastor teacher. Colossians 1:7. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful diakonos, a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf. So here we have diakonos used for the communication gift of pastor teacher. And then look over at verse 23. If you continue in your faith, this is Colossians 1:23. If you continue in your faith established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a diakonos, a minister or servant. So it's used for both the communication gifts of apostle in the pre-canon period of the church age and pastor teacher in the post-canon period of the church age. The aorist tense is a constative aorist. You would graph the constative aorist. Most of you know this by now that have been faithful. The constative aorist, viewing all the times that Paul, the apostle, pastor-teacher Timothy, pastor-teacher Titus, ministered to the Corinthian believers through the teaching of Bible doctrine. They diakoneoed. Paul diakoneoed. Apostle Paul diakoneoed. Pastor-teacher Timothy diakoneoed. Pastor-teacher Titus diakoneoed. They taught the Word of God again and again and again. Constative aorist looks at all of it, views it from its entirety. The passive voice, the positive believers in Corinth received the action of being fed the spiritual food of Bible doctrine consistently and faithfully by Paul and Timothy and Titus. The participle is circumstantial means, and you translate the circumstantial means by means of, and then this is further emphasized by the preposition hupa plus the genitive. So you have the participle of the circumstantial participle of means, by means of, and then you have hupa plus the genitive plural of ego. Hupa plus the genitive, and it's the genitive plural of ego, us. And when you have hupa plus the genitive, again, this means by us. By us. Paul, Timothy, Titus. So hupa plus the genitive of ego, it means by us, and it really it also includes with it under the authority of us, the communicator of Bible doctrine must teach with authority. Who gives him that authority? The Lord Jesus Christ gives him that authority. Corrected translation, by means of being ministered the Word of God by us, that is, being fed the spiritual food of Bible doctrine by Paul, in interpretation by Paul, Timothy, and Titus. By means of being ministered the Word of God by us, being fed the spiritual food of Bible doctrine by Paul, Timothy, and Titus. And then he adds, written not with ink. This letter from Christ is not written with ink. This is the perfect passive participle of engrapho with the objective negative ou plus the dative singular of the adjective melos. Engrapho, this is the same verb we had in verse 2. Literally, it means to record. Figuratively, it means to write in something. Here, it's writing in our hearts. Writing in our hearts. And then the adjective melos M-E-L-A-S. Melos. Melos literally is the word for black. It's used figuratively for ink. And that's how it should be translated. The dative case is the dative of material. With the objective negative ou, it should be translated written not with ink. Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. This is the conjunction Allah plus the dative singular of pneuma plus the genitive singular of theos with the present active participle of zao. Allah, strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek. We've had this many, many, many times. You got this one down. Allah, strongest conjunction of contrast. It sets up a contrast between one, a letter of recommendation written with ink by man. It contrasts a letter of recommendation written with ink by man with a letter of recommendation written by the Spirit of God in your heart. It contrasts a letter of recommendation written with ink by man with a letter of recommendation written by the Spirit of God in your heart. Two, it sets up a contrast between the letter of recommendation by man with a letter of recommendation from Christ. It contrasts the letter of recommendation by man with a letter of recommendation from Christ. Pneuma is the word spirit. Specifically, it refers here to God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And this combines both the filling of the Holy Spirit and the teaching ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. The dative case is the dative of agency. By the agency of the Spirit. By the agency of the Spirit of God. Theos, God. It's modified by the adjectival participle zao. Looks like that in the Greek. Z-A long O. Zao. So we have God, theos, and it's modified by an adjectival participle. This is, the participle is amazing. It can be a verb, it can be a noun, it can be an adjective. And here we have it serving as an adjective. The living God. The living God. You keep on being shown that you are a letter of recommendation from Christ by means of being ministered the Word of God by us. That is being fed the spiritual food of Bible doctrine by Paul, Timothy, and Titus. Written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. One. There are two essential parts to grace perspicacity. What the Apostle Paul is giving here is grace perspicacity. Grace perspicacity is how does the truth in the Bible that you have in your lap, how does that truth get into your heart? That's grace perspicacity. It's by the grace and power of God. Not by who and what you are. It isn't how smart you are. How you could be a genius and be totally a doofus when it comes to the Word of God. And there's many, many geniuses that are nothing but doofuses when it comes to the Word of God. And there are some that have an IQ of warm temperature, of room temperature, and they're also doofuses of the Word of God. So it kind of covered the whole everybody. So there are two essential parts to grace perspicacity. One, the spiritual gift of communication. In the pre-canon period of the church age, that was primarily the apostle, sometimes the pastor teacher. In the post-canon period of the church age, it is the pastor teacher. And two, the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Spirit combined with the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. So two essential parts of grace perspicacity. Grace. The communicator, God has given a few males. No, I'm sorry, ladies. And no women have the gift of pastor teacher. No women had the gift of apostle. No women had the gift of pastor teacher. It is a few males only. And that spiritual gift provided by God is grace. We're all called sheep, the Lord's sheep. And the sheep don't earn or deserve a shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ is the great shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ is the honorable shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. But he has under shepherds. And that is the pastor. Poimen is the word for shepherd. He's given to his sheep under shepherds. You don't earn or deserve that under shepherd at all. It's grace all the way by the grace of God. None of the sheep, none of God's sheep earn or deserve the under shepherd of a pastor teacher. And that's grace. And the indwelling and filling of the Spirit and teaching ministry of the Spirit is grace all the way. So grace perspicacity is 100% totally a demonstration of the grace of God. So there are two essential parts of grace perspicacity. The spiritual gift of communication, apostle, pastor, teacher, the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. Two, there are two persons who teach the church age believer the absolute truth of the Word of God, and they work together. There are two persons who teach the church age believer the absolute truth of the Word of God, and they work together. And the word to teach is didasko. And the reason I'm putting up this verb didasko is because in Ephesians 4:11, the spiritual gift is one gift, poimen didaskalos, a shepherd and a teacher. And that's talking about one spiritual gift. There are two persons who teach or didasko the church age believer the absolute truth of the Word of God, and they work together. The spiritual gift of pastor teacher and the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. the spiritual gift of the pastor teacher is given in Ephesians 4. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Great, great passage. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It was He who gave some to be apostles. That was a temporary spiritual gift in the pre-canon period of the church age. Some to be prophets. That was a temporary spiritual gift of communication, also in the pre-canon period of the church age. Some to be evangelists. This is a communication gift for the gospel in the post-canon period of the church age, and actually it was used in both. And some to be pastor teachers, not pastors and teachers, but one spiritual gift, pastor teacher. And that is the Granville Sharp rule of grammar, which a fantastic example of the Granville Sharp rule of grammar. Two nouns in the same case, in this verse, they're both in the accusative case, connected by the conjunction chi. The first noun has the definite article, which poimen has. The second noun does not have the definite article. That means this is not two different people, but one and the same person, one and the same spiritual gift. The Granville Sharp rule of grammar. It's pastor teacher. One spiritual gift. There are not two different gifts there. And He gave some to be pastor teachers. What? For what? To prepare God's people. To equip God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Edification, advance to spiritual maturity, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the epinosis knowledge of the Son of God, and become teleos, spiritually mature believers, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And then, when you advance to spiritual maturity, and how do you get there? By that poimen didaskalos, equipping you, preparing you through teaching you the Word of God. Then, we will no longer be children tossed back and forth by the waves, every type of false teaching and false doctrine, and blown here and there by every wind of false teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming strategies. So that's the great passage on the first person that teaches you. A person teaches you. That person is the spiritual gift of pastor teacher. Now, the second person that teaches you is God the Holy Spirit. Turn over to 1 John 2. And we have studied this, 1 John 2. 1 John 2, verse 26. And you have to, verse 26, this is a deep point. 26 precedes 27. You want to know that. That's a very deep point. But a lot of communicators do not pay any attention to that. Verse 26, I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. Those trying to lead them astray. Well, in John's time, they were Gnostics, Gnosticism. One of them was in his church, Cerinthus. He was in his church. And leading many of the believers astray. He was very eloquent. They loved listening to him teach. He was a genius. He was eloquent, persuasive. And he persuaded many believers to leave the spiritual life and get into Satan's cosmic system. And so John is saying, I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray, false teachers. As for you, the anointing you receive from him, that is the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, remains in you, and you do not need any false teachers trying to lead you astray. But as his anointing, God the Holy Spirit, teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Well, that's Mano. Live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Now, these two work together. So there are two persons who teach the church age believer the absolute truth of the Word of God, and they work together. The spiritual gift of pastor teacher and the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:11-14, 1 John 2:26-27. 3. Grace perspicacity means that a man, a male believer, with the spiritual gift of communication, must teach you the Word of God in conjunction with the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. They work together. Not independent. Together. Grace perspicacity means that a man, a male believer, with the spiritual gift of communication, must teach you the Word of God in conjunction with the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. 4. The spiritually mature pastor teacher works together with the ministry of God the Holy Spirit to get the absolute truth of the Word of God in the believer's heart. The spiritually mature pastor teacher works together with the ministry of God the Holy Spirit to get the absolute truth of the Word of God in the believer's heart. This is grace perspicacity. What a blessing! Grace perspicacity. 5. There are several words in the New Testament scriptures that describe this male believer that God has gifted to teach his sheep Bible doctrine. Rain in the desert is a blessing. So that's why you are just listening to blessing. There are several words in the New Testament scriptures that describe this male believer that God has gifted to teach his sheep Bible doctrine. The first one is the verb in our verse, diakoneo, to serve food to someone, to wait on someone at a table. With regard to the pastor, it means to serve spiritual food, Bible doctrine, to a congregation. We had a man in this church. I loved him dearly. Doc Webb. Sit right here. And Doc Webb had several health issues, really serious health issues. And you would never know it. You would never know it. He would walk in, almost run in, sit down. And he was here night after night after night after night after night. And he had heart issues, and we both went, had the same cardiologist. And he would tell my cardiologist, every time he'd go see him, he'd say, Doc, I don't think he called him Doc. He said, Doc, the greatest restaurant in Las Vegas is Upland Bible Church. That's the greatest restaurant in Las Vegas. That's where you need to come. And what was he saying? Well, he's right here. The pastor serves the spiritual food of Bible doctrine to a congregation. At least he's supposed to. Today, they're doing everything but. Everything but. Now we got to have a band up and beating the drums and playing the guitar and doing all that bullshit. That's not what a local church is for. That is crazy. Go downtown. Want to hear somebody beating on the drums? Or come into my office, give me the sticks, and I'll beat on your head. That's stupid. Got to have a band and got to have a guitar and this and that. And now, Debbie's dad was taken to a church, and this was all going on. Now, he had been here. He would always come here every year and sit right back about where Harlan and Joy are sitting. And he heard the gospel and heard the gospel, heard the gospel, heard the gospel, heard the gospel. He'd turn beet red in his face, but he'd listen. Then he'd come down to me and he'd say, that was a great speech. And he went to another church and they were a band, guitars, drums. And when they got done beating on the drum, I think it was the drummer, set down his sticks, walked up. He was the pastor. Anyway, after it was over, they were leaving and driving, stopped somewhere, and when the person who took them was in the car, he asked Deb, "What did you think about that pastor, Debbie?" Debbie's always nice. She didn't say too much because the other person was there. And then the person left. And after the person that took them left, then he turned around, now tell me what you really think about that guy. See, if you asked me, I'd say, he sucks. He ought to get out of the ministry. He ought to get a job down in Texas, Roy Rogers and Butter Buns for a while. The communicator of the Word of God ministers to a congregation by his consistent and faithful studying and teaching of the Word of God. And from the verb diakoneo that we have in our verse, we have the noun diakonos, which means minister. That's really a great translation. Servant is also an excellent translation. Minister or servant. And diakonos describes the pastor as a minister, a servant, who feeds the Lord's sheep the spiritual food of the Word of God. You need the spiritual food of the Word of God. Sound doctrinal teaching, not false teaching that will lead you astray into the cosmic system. Not Gnosticism, not some persuasive, eloquent speaker, but you need sound doctrinal teaching. And we already looked up those verses with diakonos, 1 Corinthians 3:5, Ephesians 3:7, Colossians 1:7, Colossians 1:23. And the second one is poimen didaskalos. which we went to Ephesians 4:11 and saw the term poimen didaskalos. In the Greek, we have tous poimenos kai didaskalos, didaskalos. Classic example of the Granville-Sharp rule of grammar, which states that if you have two nouns in the same case joined by the conjunction chi, the first noun has the definite article, second noun does not, then both nouns are talking about the very same thing or the very same person. In Ephesians 4:11, poimen and didaskalos are both in the same case, the accusative case. They're both joined by chi. And poimen has the definite article, didaskalos does not, and therefore we have one spiritual gift, pastor, teacher. All right, well that's two of them. Diakonos, a minister, and poimen didaskalos, a pastor, teacher, or shepherd, teacher. Poimen is a shepherd or a pastor. With our head bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.